What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of Forged by Fire. Today, it's the Nick and Nick show. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you.
I'm Nick, you are Nick, but you're the real Nick. Nick Santanastaso. Probably many of you have already seen this man's story. You followed it. We're going to dig into it today. We're actually going to dig into it, pieces of it that you might not be familiar with. And that's the context of Forged by Fire, is digging into, when things are going great, and all of a sudden the shit hits the fan. My quick backstory: from Michigan originally, blue collar, found entrepreneurship at 18, failed at it like crazy, made my first million at 25 in it, built a company that did a couple billion in sales, 19 countries, 3.5 million customers. And in that decade, had all the highest of highs you could experience and all the lowest of lows you could experience. It was a crazy life in that decade. But it gave me a unique perspective that it's not just about the tips of success and the tips of work and those things that you need to learn. It's also, what are people made of when shit's not working? Mm-hmm. And that's conceptually Forged by Fire. And our guest today, Nick Santanastaso, lives an hour north of here. So thank you for coming down. We got a chance to spend some time together. Our second time connecting here. But I think your backstory is something a lot of people are familiar with, but those who are not, it's a crazy story to look at where you're at today before you hit that first major business fire, what you had to overcome, the adversities. So let's start there. Tell us your story.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks for being
happy,
here.
Happy to be here. So I'm 26 years old, young gun. And in 1996, my parents went in for a late ultrasound. They sat them down, they pulled the baby up on the screen, and the doctor started freaking out. And when they looked at the ultrasound, it said that, or it looked like I wasn't developing my limbs. And so they said, you know, his legs are not there, his arms are not there, and he has a messed up face. And they lied about my face because my face is beautiful. They lied about that. Yeah, experts lie. And they gave me about a 30% chance to live. And I came out, they did tests on my organs, and my organs were 100% healthy. The only thing that was affected were my limbs. So I was born with no legs, one arm, and a left arm with one finger on it, the middle one. So if you need it, I can throw it up. Right? And basically, because I know the backstory and what we want to dive into, my upbringing, I think, started very empowering programming with the brain. So what people need to understand is most of our beliefs and the way that we view the world was cultivated between 0 and 7 years old, because our brain was in theta state. We're very suggestible. And just to give you a quick example, like my parents' parenting style, I was the last child.
Okay.
You know, I have three other siblings, so they got the split test.
Familiar with that.
Yeah, right? And for me, they would sit me down and put clothes in front of me and only verbally coach me. They wouldn't physically do the activity of putting my clothes on. They did the same thing with food, like put me in a high chair with some food there and a fork and say, figure it out. And that's very difficult as a parent.
Extremely.
I don't know, but you know better than I do.
Yeah.
But what they were doing, two things that I wanted to share with the audience that were massively important. The first thing was I got very familiar with failure. Like I was exposed to failure. Yeah. And so at an early age, I knew that failure was all around me and I needed to experience that in order to succeed. And when we talk about business, whether you're a solopreneur, entrepreneur, like if you want success, but you want to move away from failure, good luck. That's an inner conflict, right? Because you need the failure.
Yeah.
You need that. And then the other thing that was really impactful was I became solution oriented very early. I was forced, right? Forced.
Find a way.
Like there was no other way. And so I knew everything was going to be challenging, but I spent more of my bandwidth focusing on the solution versus the problem. Which I think is massive, because even now during the uncertain times, there's problems all around you. There's fear all around you. And what people need to realize is your problems need focus to live. If you don't focus on your problem, you're not really there.
No energy, no gasoline, that car's not moving.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
Two things that jump out at me. Number one is your parents are freaking epic human beings, just absolute saints, right? So as a father, and I think through just briefly as you're walking through that story, what would have been the emotions of my ex-wife and I and going through those ultrasounds and that decision-making tree. And I remember we had one scare based on a genetic recessive on her side. And they're like, look, if this comes back like this test, you know, you're going to need to consider X, Y, and Z. And so I remember the emotions of that, even though the possibility of it was like, you know, 2% or something, it was still a possibility. And you know, to think that your parents put you not only in a position to bring you into the world, but a position to thrive. The second thing that jumps out is think of all of, you know, the kids out there that have been offered every opportunity in the world. They have every faculty, and maybe they're second gen or third generation money, and you see them with no sense of purpose. They can't handle any rejection. You know, anytime they get a failure, they act like little brats. And you know, what are your thoughts kind of on the tests that you had to face so early on versus, you know, the kids today that a lot of stuff is done for them?
Yeah, a great way to put this, a great question. My mom actually wrote a book, and the title of it was How We Raise an Adaptive Child in a Handicapped World. Because like you mentioned,
what a title,
right? That was good, right?
I need your mom on here.
Yeah, let's go. But what you mentioned is you can have all your limbs, everything given to you, and be handicapped and crippled by your upbringing. Now, I want to let the audience know that in no way, shape, or form am I throwing stones at whoever brought you up.
Right.
What you need to understand is those people did the best they could with what they knew and their conditioning.
Yeah.
What they've been exposed to, the evidence that they've seen in the world. And so for those that have gone through things or forged by the fire, right? Yeah. You see most successful people, they're very dark past, right? They had to overcome that. So they were exposed. And so your adversity is your greatest gift. Now, for those that maybe were, you know, silver spoon or whatever it may be, it's like, go get dirty, right? Like there's still hope for you. Like, go get dirty, go get experience, go to a third world country.
Go get your ass kicked.
Yeah, like go get punched in the mouth, like all of that stuff, because I think it gives you perspective, it humbles you, and you also don't take things for granted. Yeah. But I can see how that happens, right? Because also the intention of the parents, if you're a father and like, I want to be a father. When my kid comes into the world, I want to be loaded, right? I want to be able to give him things. Now, is it helping him? I don't know if that's helping him, right? But my intention is pure, right? So sometimes people are raised in an environment where the intention is pure, but it's not helping them. But that's why your mommy and daddy's best intent sometimes ain't your best intent.
Yeah, with the ripple effect of I'm going to protect. I don't want my kid to fail. Ooh, you took eighth place. Here's your ribbon. I'm like, fuck that ribbon. Throw that thing in the trash, right? So we'll get off parenting because I could go really deep onto this topic, but definitely, you know, just your parents are superheroes, I think, and they raised a superhero.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So that journey then leads you to say, okay, you know, I've got an ability to make people laugh. Tell us a little bit about that direction.
Yeah. So when I got into middle school and high school, it was like my lowest, deepest, darkest time. And everybody wants boyfriends and girlfriends, and I'm not getting the love that I think I should deserve from the ladies. And there was a specific moment where, you know, I got made fun of on the bus by a female. And from that experience, I developed beliefs about myself that I wasn't good enough, that I was ugly. Girls would never date someone like me. I'm a freak. All these different things that I said about myself. And that pain pushed me to wrestle, to start wrestling. So my older brother, I wanted to be just like my brother. He was a wrestler. All my best friends are wrestlers. And what people need to understand is, most humans operate best off pain, right? It's like you don't start going to the gym until your doctor says you're fat.
Yeah.
You don't leave the relationship until it's physically abusive or emotionally abusive. You hit a pain threshold. So everybody listening right now, there's been a moment in your life where you hit a pain threshold where you change your life, right? And so for me, the pain of not getting women or having girls, every guy wants a girlfriend. I was like, okay, I need to do something about this. And so I wanted to become a wrestler, and my right arm, which we call chicken wing right now, or we call the potato, used to look like a chicken wing. And it was 5 inches longer than it is now. My bone was going faster than my skin. So it was super sensitive. And the bottom line is, if I would have hit my arm hard enough, my bone would have came through my skin.
Aye.
And so because I was solution oriented, I was like, oh, let's just find a solution. And so I sat my parents down. I was like, can we cut it off? And they're like, what do you mean, can we cut it off? And they're like, well, you know, doctors, they can amputate stuff. Like, can we like cut it off so I can like beat someone over the head with it? Like, can we do something about it?
Right. No. So but you didn't tell me that. This is my first time learning the story of this part. Wow. You didn't tell me this last time.
Yeah.
You did tell me.
I had to save some gold for this.
Let's go. Some shock value.
And so my solution oriented mind was like, can we amputate my arm? And this is, I'm a sophomore in high school. And they were like, is this something that you really want to do? And I said, absolutely. And so my parents went ahead and scheduled the appointment so they would amputate 5 inches of my arm off so I could become a wrestler. And so, you know, I always say
my weirdo brain wants to know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did they call this an elective surgery, or were you able to get this insured?
Good question. I have no idea. My parents are probably insured.
Wait. is this elective? Is that cosmetic, you know?
Or is it insurance. Like,
that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Good question. I'll ask them. I'll call them after. And I always say, you know, they lasered 5 inches of my arm off. I had a cast with all these stitches, and I was the happiest kid that just cut his arm off. You know, I go back to school, I'm like, right. Hey, everybody. They're like, what'd you do? I'm like, I cut my arm off. And they're like, why? And what's interesting is there was a portion of people that were like, wow, like, because I was like, I'm going to become a wrestler. And they're like, that's going to be amazing. And then there was a portion of people who were like, let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, let's play it safe here. And what you need to understand in entrepreneurship as well, there's always going to be people that see your vision.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people that have no idea how to align with that vision. That's okay. Right. You can use both of them as leverage and fuel. And so I went on, I became a wrestler. And then I became a varsity wrestler, and that gave me enough confidence to put myself on the internet to segue into the the funny stuff. And so I was like, man, this is really fulfilling. How can I create something that has never been done that can make people laugh, but inspire them and give them body positivity and all the good stuff that people want? And so I was like, how many legless guys do you know crawling around Walmart pretending to be a zombie?
Not any.
I said, no one. And my friend's like, I've never seen it happen. I'm like, great. This is just what the internet needs. And so I dressed up as a zombie. I put fake blood on my clothes. I put fake blood on my face. And I went to my local Walmart, which I'm not allowed in that Walmart anymore, back in Jersey. And I scared someone and I filmed it. And I wanted 500 people to see that video, right? I just wanted to make this little ripple effect.
Yeah.
I posted the video. I went to sleep. I woke up for school the next morning, and it was the number one video on the platform on Vine. It had 80,000 likes, 80,000 revines, Logan Paul's messaging me, like, you name it, they're hitting me up. They're like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
And I took Storm. I'll cut the story. Senior year, I gained 1 million followers by pranking people.
Wow.
Got my first paid gig, $10,000, to scare the main actor of The Walking Dead in Japan.
And did it work?
Oh, yeah. It's on YouTube. Go check it out.
So he had never seen the videos of it?
So he knew me.
Oh, he did. Okay.
So he saw my videos. Yeah. And so when I flew into Japan, they were like, you have to stay in your hotel room because if he sees you, he's going to know he's getting pranked.
Yeah.
And so they kept me hidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a cool ass story. So,
sorry, that was a lot of very fast. But I just,
No, that's good because I know we got to get to the meat of the fire here. So you transition, obviously, everybody who's watching this has probably seen clips of you ripped, shredded, throwing weights around, making us all feel really shitty about ourselves. So talk about the transition.
Absolutely. All of you listening, what's so important, and I wonder if you relate to this, because we're gonna flip the script and you're gonna see you come on my show as well.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Most of us, and this is just my belief, my success in bodybuilding, business, pranking, comes from this dark place of love me. Am I enough? Please validate me.
Right.
My whole life, I didn't think I was enough, whether it was my body, my upbringing. And so I feel like a lot of successful people are trying to fill this void of like, love me. Am I good enough yet? Yeah. Is this good enough? And so I want to let people know, when it comes to bodybuilding, my frame on bodybuilding was, okay, I can't fix no legs, one arm. Nikki can't fix it, right? Or take a lot of money and you got the money and you can't fix it, right? But you can get in shape. And I'm a firm believer that my confidence and my self-worth and the way that I can project on stage and speak and close deals or raise money, whatever it is, comes down to the way that I treat my body and the way that I love myself in and outside of the gym, whether it's food, we were talking about food earlier, or in the gym. And so I couldn't change no legs, one arm. And those that are listening, you may not be able to change right now the way that you feel depressed, anxiety, stress, overwhelmed, that you're broke, but your body is the first direct reflection of manifestation. You are what you eat. You are what you consume, right? And so I can take I can look at someone, and this may be harsh, but I can look at someone and say, that bleeds into your business.
Well, I mean,
is that too harsh?
No, it's not harsh. I mean, it's something you have full control over. You have full control over what you consume.
Absolutely.
Full stop.
And even tying that into the economic times, the winter, the fear, the uncertainty, it's like, control your controllables.
Yep.
And if you can show up and you can better your body physically and not let a man with no legs and an arm outwork you in the gym, that will bleed into all the other areas of your life. You'll make more money, you have more impact, you have more fulfillment, and you won't experience depression or anxiety as much.
Yeah.
Or maybe not at all.
Well, I got to experience it at a very, very intense emotional high level, because remember, my last company was Body by Via, the 90-day challenge.
Yeah.
So there was millions of people that went through a physical health transformation that didn't believe they could or that they wanted to until they were given a platform, more importantly, a community that was supporting them in those transformations, right? And they had all the ability to make those hard decisions up till that point, and they didn't. So we know it's a choice thing, right? And now they're making those choices. You made that choice. I've always made that choice. And the outcome of what you said physically pours into every other area of your life.
It's key. You know, my mentor would say, good old Tony, your business will only go as far as your physiology. And I'm a firm believer of that. And you know about leadership, like you're one of the masters at leading people to do big things. Yeah. It's like, you got to lead. I heard from you, lead from the front, right? If you're telling them to do something, but you're not doing it, you're not a very aligned leader.
Not going to work. So you actually referenced something a moment ago. We'll probably talk about more on your podcast, but you said a lot of successful people, the fuel comes from pain. So I remember
I was curious if that related to you.
Yeah. So the first time I met what I call my relationship advisor, men don't have therapists because they don't align with the language or the definition of a therapist or a marriage counselor. So I don't have those two. I have a relationship advisor because I have a financial advisor. Yep. I have a legal advisor. I have a fitness advisor. I have a everything fucking advisor. Why would you not, men, have a relationship advisor? The answer is because you don't like the term therapist. You don't like the term counselor, right? So when I first met her, I told her my whole story in 2 hours. She just looks at me and goes, pain equals success. I said, what are you talking about? So that's it. That's your thing. That's your MO. Pain equals success. Any pain you feel, you say, fuck that. Watch this. And you turn it into a victory, right? And that moment changed the trajectory of my life. So the last 5 years has been this very difficult rewiring of love equals success. And that's a long process if you've ran up until that point for 40 years off or 38 years of pain equals success, right? So that's been my Everest to climb over the last several years.
Wow.
So when you mentioned it, it's like, yeah, not only do I identify, but I identify at a very deep level because it's the turning point, the most pivotal turning point of my life in the last, decade.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that. And I think I'm in a similar spot in the sense of creating, closing, speaking from a place of you're already enough. You're already valuable. You deserve to be here. Not coming from a place of I got to get this or I got to prove it to them. I used to get on stage. You could see it in the way that I perform. I used to get on stage and be over assertive and over masculine and too much and trying to get my point across. And now I come from a place of I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy. I'm cool. I'm chilling. If you want to have a breakthrough, we're going to have a breakthrough. If you're not, all good. That's my message? All right. There's going to be someone in here, their life's going to be changed. So I come from that place. Does it make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. Well, actually, talk me through the breakthrough side of things, meaning you ended up transitioning and saying, all right, I want bigger reach, bigger platform from an impact perspective. And you realize the lane probably wasn't going to be fitness, but it was going to be, being able to speak.
So that's nice of you to say that. I don't even think I was that smart yet.
Okay.
Right? That's a very kind compliment. So I'll share why that is. Yeah. Because when I moved from Jersey to Tampa I wanted to become a bodybuilder. And I remember I talk about this with my team and my girl all the time, is my life was so simple in the sense that I based my success off, did I get my lift in and did I eat all my meals? And if I did, you're a stud.
What's the Jersey short, GTL?
GTL, just hand laundry, right? We don't pump our gas, we pump our fists. Right, that's a whole nother podcast, a whole nother time here, right? But my life was so simple and based on the rules that I set for my life, which by the way, everybody listening right now, you have a set of rules, whether it's unconscious or consciously, that makes you feel successful or not. Non-negotiables, guardrails, success rules, whatever you want to call them. So when I was bodybuilding, my success rules were, I pick things up, I put them down, and I ate healthy today, you're a stud.
Yeah.
Making a few bucks, I was comfortable. I was chilling. I only knew what I knew. I was only exposed to what I was exposed to. I'm like, this is a great life. I used to crawl around Walmart. Now I'm filming bodybuilding videos. People know me all over and I'm making some cash. I'm chilling. And then I went to a mastermind, or the term, I got in the room.
Yeah.
And I got in the room with people who are wealthier and smarter than me. And I shared my story. It was about 8 people. And a guy on the couch looked at me and said, you're going to be on stage with Tony Robbins one day. And I said, who's Tony Robbins? And I had no idea anything about speaking, personal development. And that guy's actually backstage. He's here.
Yeah.
And he saw a gift in me that I didn't see in myself. And he exposed me to a world that I would never been exposed to if it wasn't for him and me getting in the room. And so I can't lie and say, I wanted more impact. And I was chilling. he pushed me into a whole bigger arena, and that's when I started speaking. So we can go wherever you want to go.
Well, the point that you just made, I think, is relevant for everyone watching this, which is a lot of times someone else is going to see something in you or more in you or something different, right? So a lot of times a mentor might be like, hey, I see more in you, but this was kind of a peer-to-peer relationship. And it's someone that says, no, you have a different lane. Do you not see this? And that changed the direction of your life forever.
Yeah. And showed me the power of condensing time. You know, our time and our energy, two most valuable assets. And so now with this frame of mind, the only reason why I have this level of success at 26 is because I get in the rooms.
Yep.
I'll pay for information. I'll pay to get the mentorship. I'll pay to get proximity because they get the collapsed time for you. It's the craziest thing. And you get to be exposed to people winning at a higher level. Some people listening to this, it's like, you just don't have evidence around you that winning's possible. That's okay, but change it. Yeah. Or maybe in your life, you don't have evidence that having a harmonious relationship is possible because everyone around you had terrible relationships or had commitment issues, right? Or maybe the reason why you're overweight is because you never had evidence that it was worth to be in shape. And that's okay. Get in rooms where you can find evidence that winning is possible and duplicatable and you can do it too.
I mean, we all know how RIS works. Like you're never going to have files that are contradictory to the files you have right now unless you get exposed to references. That will build a new set of files that will then trigger the RIS to attract more of that, right?
You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I'm like, bothered over here.
Yeah.
RIS.
Yeah. We come from the same lineage of learning, that's for sure. So, okay, let's dive into the business fire, right? So forged by fire, the term definition could be about any fire in your life, but the context of forged by fire is I'm kicking ass. Oh shit, the parachute didn't work, you know? And what does that make of you? And how do you come back and rise again after the fall, usually in a business context, right? So you end up not just learning who Tony Robbins was, you end up not just seeing him speak or being in his, let's say, platinum partnership or mentorship group, you end up going on tour with him.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
Yeah, great. So when we started this speaking company, Ratmir was actually like, yo, you need to quit your job and move in with me. And I moved in on a couch.
Yes.
I moved in on a couch for a year. That's super cool. And no stages, no bookings. No one knew who I was. And we started reading books on like paid to speak. And just we had no idea about the speaking industry. And our first ever paid, we were just talking about this on the ride here. Our first ever paid gig was $1,000. And we were like,
we're rich.
Exactly. Bro, I was like, I opened my mouth for 45 minutes. I spoke. I didn't really know what I was saying. And they gave me $1,000 and they said their sales went up. Like, this is amazing, right? Like, bro, we ain't never going back. And so from there, it was 3 to 4 years of being road warriors.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no products, no nothing. It was just like, I was a very good storyteller.
Brand building.
Yep, brand building, exposure. And Ratmir said that one of my first books or exposed was Grant. And whether you align with them or not, there's some principles that I really align with. And it was like just exposure, trying to get on everything. And so we were getting on all these podcasts and I was harnessing my message and I fell in love. I think I told you this. I fell in love. Initially, I started speaking for money. And then I fell in love with the art of taking people through this mindfuck. Right? Like this emotional roller. Can I say that on here?
Of course.
Like this emotional roller coaster.
Fucking it.
The emotional roller coaster, like you're crying, you're happy, you're pissed off, you have a breakthrough, you're going through inner child work, like you name it. And when I saw Tony speak, the first time I saw Tony speak, he spoke for 12 hours straight. I was like, I want to do what that guy did.
Yeah.
What did he just do to me and up to this whole room? And so I started diving deeper, digging my well in all the knowledge of communication, influence, NLP, hypnosis, you name it. I just dug my well deep. And we were at the like all-time high we were talking about. We were at the all-time high. I was booked throughout the whole year. I was touring China. I was doing tours in China. I was learning Mandarin. I was just expanding my identity.
How many events per year would you, at the peak, like you fucking killing it, 2019?
80, 90. I'm speaking 80, 90 times a year.
How many countries?
Probably, I spent a lot of time in China. But I did, you know, Canada, Mexico, China.
In that year though?
Yeah.
10 countries. 80 paid speaking gigs. Yeah. So
this is the peak, right? This is like a progress of like 3 years.
You're a multimillionaire.
3 years.
In that year.
Yeah, 3 years, 4 years. And we were like, okay, I'm a little burned out. We're and Ratmir's burned out. We're like, bro, we're on flights more than flight attendants. Like, you know, we're like 80% of the year. And I was like, there's got to be a more efficient way. And asking you shall receive, you know, I didn't know how this was going to pan out. And we're like, okay, well, if we move to Vegas and we develop relationships with all the people that book the venues in Vegas, I can just stay in Vegas, do as much revenue as we're doing, and I'll never have to fly anywhere. This is brilliant. So we're like, great. We pick the whole, it's three of us. We pick the whole company up. We move it to Vegas, February 1st of 2020. We didn't know what was going to happen, right? Now, meanwhile, I had an inside scoop. I was touring in China.
You already knew. It's coming.
My agent sending me, I don't know if they're propaganda, they're pretty aggressive videos. But yeah. He was like, there's something going on over here in China. I was like, oh, you know, that's going to blow over, right? And I remember moving into our Vegas house and I have a gig locked in and I'm like, oh, I drive 15 minutes to casino, speak, they pay me. This is awesome. And I get that first paid gig, I do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're shut down for 2 weeks. I'm like, we're like, oh, we're chilling. Fine. 2 weeks.
I'll be back in China in 30 days.
Yeah, exactly. Contract after contract after contract, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars gone. And I'm looking at my business partners, I'm like, what do we do?
Yeah, that's called the acts of God part of the contract. Yeah. Right? We're like, we're going to go ahead and execute acts of God, which means it's out of our control. God stepped in. Therefore, this whole contract is null and void.
Yeah, exactly. And so eliminated. Everything's eliminated. And we made money, but I wasn't prepared for a drought. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like I didn't have cash stacked away. Like,
especially when you're doing this part.
Yeah, we're growing. I'm investing back in the company. It's like we're on thin, like we're reinvesting. I'm not paying ourselves much, right? We're just like building this thing. And because we're going long term. And so there's like a, Rapper said it was about 2 days. He was scared. I was scared for a little bit longer than that. I was like, there was a week's of fear.
Yeah.
Right. And what people need to understand listening is like, you have a choice when fear arises. You either take action or you fall victim to the fear. Everybody has fear. You have fear. I have fear. Yeah. We're going to continue to have fears, but successful people know how to leverage and step into the fear, step into the uncertainty. And so I had to get a disaster loan. Like I had to get a disaster loan. Like, yo, like we need to float this by. Like we need to float by for a little bit because it didn't look so hot. And good thing, because those that sat around and said, I'll wait till it goes back to normal, they got crushed. And I was like, we can't wait. We can't wait to just go back to normal.
We gotta
pivot, exactly. And while I was on the road, our story was, I don't have time to learn digital, I'm on the road. The money's too good here, I'm on the road, right? And so—
And you also probably like that human connection.
Loved it.
You know?
Still love it.
Digital's so disconnected.
Yeah.
You can try, you can, you know, there's just, Zoom is not the same. I don't care if you got 1,000 people in a pajama party, you branded it, you made it fun, they're waving flags. It doesn't fucking matter. You can't connect in the same, in the same way.
Absolutely. And so now this pain forced us, it was a gift. By the way, like your number one skill, one of the biggest skills that you can learn in entrepreneurship is to train your brain to find the gift in everything that's happening around you. Because if you don't, you'll get crushed. Because you're going to listen to this episode, you're going to walk outside your door and adversity is going to hit. Shit's going to hit the fan. Things are not going to go your way. And you got to train your brain to find a gift because the brain doesn't want the gift. And
Now, before I let you talk about the gift, I'm going back into the fire.
Okay.
All right. So there's a period of time. How many, you could estimate, obviously, how many deals get canceled in what time frame? Obviously, the revenue is 6 to 7 or multiple 7 figures of revenue. But it's like, all right, we know in the year before you had 80 gigs in about 10 countries and who knows how much reach there, tens of thousands of people live.
Yeah.
What's the equivalent of the 2020 plan? We're going to fucking do blank. And all of a sudden those all turn into zeros. What's the 2020 business plan that goes to zeros?
That is a great question. I think, I'm going to be fully transparent. I don't even think we had a clear enough business plan. I think we were just winging it.
Running and gunning.
So I'm going to be honest, winging it. And I'll tell you that because we have three partners. We had three partners. One had left and we can go through that as well. But the one partner was the finance, all numbers. And so I was a bad CEO in the sense of I was like, I don't even need to know what those are.
Yeah.
And now I have a heartbeat on all the numbers and I have a clear plan. But back then I didn't have a plan.
Okay.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know what I was projecting to do. And I would say we probably lost within that month of everything shut down, probably like 700,000 in contracts. And I was not prepared for that.
So you thought you had a bad day. You thought, hey, I'm a sales professional, like income dropped from 200K to 150, or I lost my job, or blank, blank, blank. Right? There's almost $1 million in contracts terminated that you're so, super aware of, not counting the ones that you're not aware of, all within the first 30 days. And then at that point, your association, your identity is I'm a stage presence.
That's a good point.
Right? I'm a person that moves people in person. My literal identity is I fly in, I do the show, I move people, I receive all this fulfillment through their transformation that I'm able to deliver. Do you remember going through that in your own mind as to, or did you feel a sense of depression or just lowering of energy? How did that impact you that you weren't able to be you, like what you identified as?
Yeah, that is a great point. So I did feel that because during that journey of building that, there was, whether it's directly or indirectly, I've heard things like, he's not tactical enough. He'll never be over a $5,000 speaker. Oh, he just gets stages because he's disabled. He doesn't have any business experience. Well, he's 22, 23 at the time, right? And so when COVID hit, yeah, I got wrecked. That identity got wrecked. And Ratmir is always very good at being like, you need to start studying this. Like, you need to start going deep on this. And you really screw up when you're teaching more than you're learning.
Wow.
Massive lesson. You screw up when you are teaching more than you're learning and you're not digging your well deep. And so I took this time of my one business getting wrecked to go tactical, to get super tactical, to dive more into the brain. Because at that time, I was just motivational speaker. You can label me that, motivational speaker. I wasn't giving tactics. I was sharing fluffy stories about my life that people really loved and it moved them, right? Not nearly what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And so I took this time to build out programs. So we moved into the digital space. We created a digital company. We took that loan to float us on how to test out this digital stuff. You know how that is, like split testing. I watched all the big guys in this industry move to virtual events, challenges, 4-hour workshops. And so I created, I'll just rattle off just for short term. I created a kids program. I was going to save the kids, right? Kids are struggling. They're not getting taught by anyone in COVID. Thing is, you got to settle the parents, not the kids. And then you got to get the kids to buy in from the parents to do the work. Shit show, right? So I did a kids program. And then I was teaching this from like in a closet, right?
Yeah.
People are like, are you in your closet right now? I'm like, yeah, this is my virtual studio, right? I didn't have a virtual studio. I'm in my closet in Vegas. There's a couch back behind me, you know? No joke. This is how I started. And so I created—
Whatever it takes.
I created an inner circle. My first inner circle, it was $497 for the whole entire year. And you get me every single week.
So a lot of value. That's a lot of time.
Based
$40 a week per person.
And by the way, that's coming from what I thought what I was worth.
Yeah.
Right. So this is, I'm still battling self-worth and all this. And so I dive deep. Since it was 2 years, COVID came out, I did a training every single Monday, new work, new, I learned all that time, did over 100 different trainings and dug my well deep. And it was a beautiful alignment because by the time we got some traction with digital, the world started opening up. So now, right now, both businesses are firing.
So yeah, so you've already mastered the one. COVID hits, it forces you to go master the other. And right when you master the other one, world opens up and now you have two revenue streams.
That leverage each other.
Two buckets, you know, that you can dip into with mastery on both.
Yep.
So we're gonna circle back to the today in just a second. You had also referenced, you know, as COVID hits, which shuts down your only business model, you have a business challenge, you have a partnership split, and then I'm aware that you also had a personal tragedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they always say that, tragedy comes in three, or like, you ever heard that quote?
It's like, destruction follows intention.
Yeah. It happens in threes. It's an old saying, right?
Yeah,
it's you definitely had three strikes. It's bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, you're right.
So it was financial, it was a business partnership and something on the personal level.
Yeah.
Walk us through those last two.
Yeah. So the partnership really just came down to one of our partners' passion was somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I saw that, right? But it's like a breakup, right? You know how that is. It's like a breakup. And so we had to have some of the most tough conversations in my life I've ever had to have, just sitting in front of another brother and saying, hey, this doesn't align no more. And so we went through that, and that was a great learning experience, a great gift. And I feel like it was like liberation for all of us. And so we went through that, and that was very healing too, you know, going through that. And then April.
Any operational disruptions to that for the business? Because you said it is really operational finance and like.
Oh yeah, like I gotta start learning some things. Yeah. No, I can only count to one, right? I usually hire someone to count my numbers, you know what I'm saying? So I gotta start learning, right?
Well, I know we just found the reel that we're gonna use to promote this.
Love that. You're welcome. And I can only count to one. So my numbers guy was good. And so I had to learn that whole side of the business. And there's so much growth in that. I want people to understand that competence breeds confidence. Competence breeds certainty. So the more competent I am on my business, I'm a savage. I'm better. My identity is leveled up. So we go through this breakup, right? The business weight is elevated, and then April 26, in 2020. So just a couple months in, I get a FaceTime that from my dad that my brother's at his feet overdosed on heroin and fentanyl, and that he wasn't coming back this time. And he had overdosed a couple times and came back, and this time it wasn't coming back. And that was very tragic because a few things, and I never even talked about it like this. A few things was like, I didn't really know my brother as deep as I wanted to, right? Like he was a lot older than me. He was a Marine. And we just started to get to know each other, and then he was gone. But that pain also forced me to be like, yo, I'm going to dedicate my life to this work, human psychology, because this guy was suffering. He had all his legs, all his arms, but like his mind got in the way, proximity, association, drugs. And a lot of people are struggling with that. And I want to give people the tools to master their internal world so nothing like that affects them. Now, little did I know that my brother would pass away from overdose and I would get involved in rehabs. I would have never gotten involved, never had that in my RAS, my filter of getting involved in rehab centers, which now is something that my partner and I are most excited about. Some of the most exciting things, most fulfilling work, and one of the greatest avenues for us to lead large organizations and teach people and do work that's really, really meaningful. I mean, the work that I do on stage is very meaningful, but this is like personal. So I feel like my brother not only gifted me millions of dollars, and gifted me new titles and new organizations, but he's been blessing me since he's left.
They gifted you with an renewed, or I wouldn't say renewed because you've always been very purposeful, but an additional purpose.
100%, 100%, new purpose. Anytime that I'm driving my little race car, I'm like, I thank him. He gave me a lot.
And you're a healer. I mean, define it however you want in terms of the term, you know, transformation specialist or psychological, da, da, da. You're a healer, right? And I can relate in the sense of there's so many people that I'm so good at what I do in sales leadership and entrepreneurship. And there's so many people very close to me that I can't make an impact. It just doesn't land, right? And it's no comparison to personal tragedy. But you know, I try to understand, then I feel like I can topically, but not at the depths that you can. But when you're a healer of individuals that are struggling emotionally and what's going on, you know, between the 6 inches between their ears, and to have, you know, the one of the ones closest to you, it's like I can see how the impact that it'll have on you, but also the inspiration that it created for you. It's like everything a person needs to know about you is in that those couple sentences of this happened, and it happened and struck me at my core. And rather than the why me direction and the why us direction, even though there'll always be moments of that, it became how do I use this and support other people? Yeah. How do I use this and heal more people? And that's in that 2 minutes, everything that someone needs to know about you can be encapsulated in that 2 minutes.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're a special human.
Thank you, brother. You know? I appreciate that. And just to plant a seed for everyone as well is like, some of you may be listening and saying, well, I'm not qualified to lead, or I'm not qualified to do this. And it's like, life has qualified you. Yeah. All the things that you've been through, all the things that you've overcome allows you to turn around and condense time for other people just like you. Like, we heal because we were broken.
None of us were qualified at one point.
Yeah.
And by the way, who the fuck decides the qualifications?
Yeah.
You know, like your teacher, you know how broke your teacher is? You know, like, just follow your heart. Okay. So you come out of COVID. By the way, our company did its transfer into the company and said now, and we are just going to explode and rock Europe, and Italy's our number one market already. February 2020.
Let's go.
February 2020 is right when that happens. And we're like, we're going to go. Shit, we can't even go there to support this transition.
Wow.
You come out of COVID, you now got digital mastery. You're already, you know, stage mastery. You understand the syndicate. You've traveled the world. And what, you know, what's that journey been like the last year of recreating and, you know, relaunching? And
I'm so blessed. Yeah. I'm just so blessed to be able to do what I do. And I feel like we've been at this, we're young guns, you know, Ratmir and I, we've been at this 5 years and I feel like, it's finally starting to work. Right. And I want people to understand that 5 years, for some people it's 7, 10, 15 years. It's like, how long can you go without quitting? And I feel like at this point, we're like, wow, we have a lot of clarity on where we are and where we want to go and how we're going to achieve it and the vehicles that we're going to achieve it with and what we need to build. So I feel very blessed. I feel very clear. So right now, focusing on speaking, continually getting anywhere, training people, and then also Inner Circle, building out a community of people. And then also I'm really excited to do acquisitions and raise money for the rehab centers and, you know, help people with alcohol and drug or substance abuse.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, I think I know the answer already, but did you ever think about quitting when COVID hit and you're like, fuck, there goes $1 million?
Oh, 100%. 100%. There was a conversation with the three of us, three alpha men running a company, right? How could that go wrong? And there was a conversation where they were like, we can only take this as, like, I saw the numbers going down and like, we might have to file for bankruptcy. And they're like, we can only take this as far as the effort that you're the speaker. I was like, shut it down. Let's figure out something else. Like, I literally said that. I was like, let's just throw the towel.
Somebody get this all on my shoulders.
Yeah, let's just quit. And I didn't.
So why? Why did you not quit? How long did you consider quitting? And then what's that inner dialogue that says, fuck that, I'm not going to. So that's the goal. That, by the way, this whole podcast is this moment right here.
Yeah, in terms of context. I think I was in my shitty diaper for probably a couple of days. I'm like, fuck this. I'm quit. Screw this company thing. I'll go play video games, do stuff, and I don't give a fuck. Right? Like that shitty diaper, unresourceful state. And then I probably thought about, like, Ratmir always puts it a great way. He's like, I mean, you can always be a Walmart greeter. And I'm like, shut up. You know, like, you can always go back to customer service, Nick. You know, like, you can always go back to an average life. I'm like, yo, shut up. Like, I'm not doing that. And so I think the big answer here is the pain of moving forward will always be less than the pain of not living your full potential. The pain of moving forward will always be less than you knowing what you are operating out and then not operating at that level anymore.
Yep.
The pain of going backwards is way more painful than the pain of moving forward. That's all you need to know.
Give them three tips. Sales professionals, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. Three tips on anything. You can go any direction you want. I really like the direction you went with fitness earlier. That was awesome to hear that because I don't think anyone's ever really talked about deeply.
Yeah.
Dovak Quince from The Biggest Loser did for sure. But go any direction you want. You know, the most important things to you to share with somebody watching are?
First thing, those that you're surrounding with, are they liabilities or are they assets? You always gotta reevaluate your circle and make sure that your circle is pushing you to be the best you can and totally eliminate anyone who doubts you or throws stones at your vision. That's what I would say. That's very hard to do. Sometimes it's family and friends.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would say is all of you is physiology. You need to continually be in the gym. I don't care what it is. Stop skipping leg day. I ain't got legs. I'll take them for donations. Like, stay in the gym.
Stop skipping leg day. I ain't got no legs. Were you talking straight to me on that?
Because I was. Hey, the shoe fits, bro. I might have been here for you.
Bro, I've been skipping leg day since college baseball.
Yeah.
I've been skipping it for 20 years.
Yeah, so I'm talking to him, right? So, like, get in there, Stay with your health and nutrition.
I'm dead.
So that's the second one. And then the third one I would say is never believe that you're above information. The moment you believe that you've mastered something is the very belief that's holding you back from the next level of life. Always get in the room, always pay for information, always get in rooms with people who are richer and smarter than you and learn from every single one. Take notes, analyze, and I would give them a fourth one is, and I mentioned this earlier, is dig your well deep. Whatever your expertise is, whatever your niche is, whatever you're known for, you want to know 50 times more than you can ever talk about in a session about that topic, and you will never go broke and you will never go empty of information, and people will always pay you to talk. Hope that was good.
No, it was badass. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but you know, I get to sit across from some great people, and I think me personally, there's a couple that really, really, really touched me. So thank you for that. One of the most inspiring stories, or I wouldn't say stories, most inspiring tips or $1 million moments that I've personally received.
Wow.
Right here today. So thank you. I appreciate it. Episode 22. Oh wait, where can we find you? What do you want these guys to do? What do you want them to take action on?
I'm a walking thumbnail. And what I mean by that is I'm the most handsome guy with no legs, one arm you ever find on the internet. So just type in Nick, no legs, the guy with the tattoos and the guy with the jacked up nice girlfriend. That's me.
I'm a walking thumbnail. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't want to go the route you're going, you got comedy to fall back on for sure.
That's so, on the list. When we get that, what do they call it? Fuck you money? Yeah. Then I'm going to go on a comedy tour.
I love it. episode 22, Forged by Fire. That is a wrap. If you love it, share it, get the word out. You know, we're going to keep doing our best to bring you great stories of not just people that have made it and the characteristics on how, but the people that made it, lost it, and made it again, and what they did in those moments, like Nick Santanastasso just shared with us. So thank you so much. We are out.